In the name of Jesus, amen. Three questions. All the questions have something in common. Listen closely. Question number one, how long is it going to take? Question number two, when are we going to get there? Question number three, when will it be over? Three questions all have something in common. How long is it going to take? When are we going to get there? When is it going to be over? What do those three questions have in common? Well, they can't be answered. They can't be answered until after whatever is going to happen happens. They are unanswerable questions. How long is it going to take? I don't know. I'll let you know when it's all through, when we get there. When are we going to get there? Once again, I don't know. We'll see. You could have car trouble, you could hit a deer, some kind of other accident. You don't know how long it's going to take. Of course, you have an idea when you're traveling, but unexpected things happen. When will this be over? I'll tell you when it's over. Sporting events are a good example of that. 2 minutes on the clock left in the football game. But everybody knows it's way longer than 2 minutes. Could be 8 minutes, could be 10 minutes, could take 15 minutes for those last 2 minutes. Doesn't make any sense, but that's how it goes. Could tonight be this world's last night? It could be. We don't know. I'll let you know when it happens. One of these nights, it will be the world's last night. The teaching of the end of the world, our Lord's return, one of the clearest teachings in the Bible. It's not based on vague, obscure, biblical passages. The Word of God is clear. And the teaching of our Lord's return and the end of the world consists basically of 3 points. Number one, Jesus is certainly coming back. Number two, nobody knows when. Number three, therefore, we must always be ready and wait for Him. Number one, Jesus is coming again. You can count on it. Everything the Bible has foretold up to this moment in history has come true. Not with 50% accuracy, not with 75% accuracy, not even with 99% accuracy. It's come true with 100% accuracy. When it talks about Jesus coming again, He's coming again. It is true, it is certain. Now, of course, you don't have to believe that, but not believing it doesn't make it not true. Just like there used to be people who thought the world was flat, never for a moment changed the shape of the world. Jesus is coming again. Number two, we don't know when. We have to admit this teaching of our Lord's return has led some Christians into foolishness. It seems that many people find it hard to believe that Jesus is coming back again without trying to figure out or guess when it's going to be. And then, of course, there are always those who believe them. You could easily fill up a book or maybe several with a history of all the failed predictions of the end of the world. Jesus clearly says, no one knows that day or that hour when He will return. What does He mean by that? He means nobody knows that day or that hour. Are there signs that the end is coming? Yes, there are. And the Bible tells us what they are. Jesus said there will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. When crazy weather happens, it's a sign. The end of the world is coming. And as this world draws to a close, it will seem as if the orderly creation of our God, nature itself, becomes unhinged. This world, everything God created, longs to be free from the chains of sin and death and all the destruction that brings. All creation is looking forward to the return of the King. So when we hear or read about the weather being crazy, shouldn't surprise us at all. Rather, it should just remind us, oh yeah, Jesus said that's the way it's going to go. Are these signs occurring now? Yes, they are. Hardly a week goes by without news of some kind of natural disaster somewhere in the world. These events are and have been occurring for quite some time. Are they occurring with greater frequency than at previous times in history? We don't know. We don't have good weather records from 200 years ago, so it's hard to say. Jesus did not say that more of them will occur or they will get closer together before the end comes. He simply says, here are some of the signs, and we have to admit they are occurring. So what does that mean? What should you do? Sell your house, cash out your investments, quit your job, spend your time in prayer and Bible study, getting ready for the end of the world? Well, you could do those things, and you could even justify that behavior by saying, yes, I believe the end is coming soon, and you're going to get rid of all earthly ties, and there have been some people who have done that. And as religious and pious as that might sound, I doubt that's really a temptation for any of you. The temptation that you and I are more likely to fall into is we kind of forget about it. We kind of forget that it's actually going to happen. Jesus says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation. Literally, that means binge drinking. Went on back then, just like it does today. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Jesus doesn't want us to be caught off guard. He doesn't want us to be caught in a trap. Now, if he wanted to catch us off guard, he wouldn't tell us any of this. But people will be caught off guard because they don't believe what God says in his holy word. And so we are to watch ourselves because Jesus knows how easily we get distracted. And I'm thinking the distractions we have in our current modern age are more than they had in Jesus' day. We get distracted by the things that entertain us. We get distracted by our phones, our computers, what we want to do today, what we want to do tomorrow, what we want to do next week. We get so used to living in a sinful world that we can't imagine living in any other way, which is itself a sin. And our perverseness is so bad that not only do we like our sin, but the idea of God getting rid of it, of God coming again, we're like, just wait, God, I've got plans. I've got things I want to get done. Really? Do you think that what you have planned is better than what God has planned for you? It's not. It's not. But our sin is like, well, God, just wait. Don't come yet. Let me get these things done. Let me observe these events. Don't let that day come upon you like a trap. There's another reason Jesus tells us to be prepared. This world doesn't provide the contentment and satisfaction you're looking for. In fact, this world will tear you down and beat you up. Sin is destructive, and it wants to destroy you. And so you need to know that this world is not all there is. The return of the King gives us hope. There's a day coming when we will be set free from sin and all the destruction that it brings. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus tells us, but his words will never pass away. So we wait. And that doesn't mean we get obsessed with our Lord's return. But maybe we could think about it the way a 75-year-old man might think about his life. 75-year-old man, we would say, you know, it's really not healthy if you're thinking about or talking about dying every day. That probably wouldn't be healthy for a 75-year-old man. But on the other hand, You know, if you're 75, you probably shouldn't embark on some project that's going to take you 20 years to complete. You should know what stage of life you're in. And certainly, you should have your will made out. In the same way, we live out our lives as Christians, not being obsessed with our Lord's return, not fretting about it, but also in the back of our mind, knowing it's coming. And probably coming sooner than you realize. And when it comes, the Lord comes to set you free. Your sins are forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus. Your name is written in the book of life. As that hymn we just sang a moment ago so elegantly put it, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that would be you. Your sins are forgiven. Heaven stands opened. And so our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who believes in him and calls upon his name will be saved. So we ask him, Lord, work in our hearts that we not be frightened. Give us confidence. And when we are weighed down by the cares of this world, remind us what you have prepared for us and for all those who look forward to your coming and coming again. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.